Grade 2 Conference, Lecture 7, The Second Grader, Part 7. We'll talk now about the phlegmatic child in the classroom and at home. The phlegmatic child is one who lives very strongly in the element of comfort. So when we are telling the phlegmatic stories, again, be they fables or saint stories, you may want to elaborate a little bit, at times, on the feasts that are being held, or on the rest that one or another figure must get in between adventures, or if there's something of a marriage or some great event occurring, of course it needs to be followed by great celebrations, perhaps 7 days and seven nights of wonderful food. And here again, you may want to describe it a bit in detail. And certainly it's amazing when you think like a phlegmatic does, you realize how many fables are connected with one animal wanting to get food from another animal, or in some way or other, maybe wanting the other animal to be their food. So there's plenty there for phlegmatics. They don't need to hear a lot, but just enough. And it's also important, this certainly holds true in grade 1 and continues to hold true through grade 3. When you are reviewing a story, and this is for all four temperaments, you want to be sure that the day before or 2 days before that you planted seeds of that story which were temperamentally appropriate. So that means that, let's say, child A is melancholic, child B is phlegmatic, that on Monday when you told the story, you made sure that there was something very sad going on, maybe the martyrdom of a very wonderful and loving saint. You're kind of directing your consciousness, your attention towards the melancholics as you tell this part of the story, and they're pulling along all of the other children into it, even the sanguines who don't like anything about blood being mentioned, or death or sorrow. And the phlegmatics, meanwhile, are hearing something about someone sleeping or eating or something on that line. Then on Tuesday, when you review the story, you know that you can call on a phlegmatic child to talk about that feast, to talk about that rest. They may not remember much of anything else, or they say they don't, but they will be able to replicate that part, and that makes them feel better about their own memory. I can get up and talk too, even though I'm kind of shy and don't like saying much, but that was a really good part of the story. Same with the melancholics, who are usually much more willing to speak, but they will especially be able to wax eloquently on the sorrowful, painful parts of the story. So in this way, you are helping all the children in the class develop their memory capacities by beginning with those aspects of the story that they are very likely to remember. So you may sometimes have to add a restful part to a story, or a meal to a story, or something that was very comfortable to the story, so that the phlegmatics feel that there's something in that story for them as well. Now, one of the most challenging parts of working with a phlegmatic child, who on the whole are not challenging because they're very sweet, wonderful disposition, generally do not have a mean bone in their body, but one of the challenges is their slowness. They simply are on a different time continuum than the rest of us. They love kindergarten for that reason, because kindergarten has a healthily, inherently phlegmatic quality to it. When it comes to how quickly things get done, they're not done quickly, and that's what the phlegmatic likes. Now in second grade, we're moving at a faster pace than we did in first, and that was already considerably faster than kindergarten. So we don't want the phlegmatics just to always feel that they're kind of left in the dust and everything's moving much faster than they can. We want to help them work a little faster. But the most counterproductive way to do this is to say to a phlegmatic, a little faster, go ahead, you know, we only have 5 minutes. That won't work, because then one of their shadow qualities, their stubbornness, will definitely show up. So this is what you do. You've just begun drawing. You know that you have perhaps 20 minutes, maybe even half an hour of drawing time. You've really apportioned a good amount of time for it this morning. After about 5 minutes have passed, so you still have, let's say, 15 minutes left in the class, maybe even 20, you go up to the phlegmatic child or to the group if they're all near each other and simply say, now we're going to be putting our crayons away before too long, so, you know, be ready to put everything away. You still have 15 or 20 minutes and you're telling them we're putting our crayons away soon? Yes. You have to give them that much advance warning. Perhaps 10 minutes later, you go up to them and say, all right, beautiful work. Now, you have a little more time. Just put the finishing touches on that. Just try to finish the princess today. We'll work on the prince tomorrow. Or let's just finish the wolf. Let's only do the wolf right now. And the rest of the picture we'll do tomorrow. You act as though there are only 2 or 3 minutes left, when actually there are 10 or 15 minutes left. And then you go up to them again. All right, start putting your crayons away, even though you have perhaps 10 minutes left. So the rest of the class, you basically wait until you have 5 minutes and say, okay, everybody, we're about done. Put everything away. You know, let's get going, because you know it's going to take them longer than you and they think. But the phlegmatics need a lot of advance warning. And this is what I tell the parents as well. When it's time for the child to clean their room, you know, this Saturday we're going to clean our room, you have to warn them a week in advance. Well, it's getting to be time to clean your room. Next Saturday is the big day, and phlegmatics can really be messy. Really, really messy. because, again, they just like having the same stuff around. They like it to pile up. They like to be comfortable. So then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to be cleaning that room of yours. If you've been thinking about what you want your room to look like, don't forget, it's almost room cleanup time. Warn them, warn them, warn them. And on Saturday, they may be ready to do it. Same thing with getting ready for school every morning. From the moment they wake up, say, okay, it's going to be time for school, school day. Let's be getting ready for that. You know, just, again, not pressuring them, but just reminding, just putting that picture in front of them so that they can slowly, slowly, but surely get ready. And, you know, we have to be grateful for this, because we do move on the whole much too quickly in our time. Even though most children can keep up with it more or less, we are really doing something that's not healthy for them, body, soul, and spirit. And the phlegmatics keep reminding us about this matter, that they know, you know, we need to move a little bit more slowly, stop and smell the roses, enjoy life, eat well, drink well. You know, that's what life is about. There's something very, very wonderful there. It's also very wonderful to see when somebody around a phlegmatic is crying, has been hurt, is unhappy. Phlegmatics don't like that. They really want everybody to feel as good about being alive as they feel. They want everybody to be basically happy and content. So when somebody is not happy, a phlegmatic will try to soothe them and make them feel better. Not by taking them to the nurse's room, but rather by opening their lunchbox or basket and offering their friends something to eat. They can't imagine that anything would be more wonderful than being offered something really delicious. And they can't imagine a higher sacrifice, a more eloquent way of telling somebody you care about them and like them or love them than offering them something to eat. It is such a touching and wonderful thing to see how the phlegmatic takes hold of this. But you have to watch the phlegmatic in one particular way. Their very goodness, their very placid nature, their willingness to be agreeable, this can get them into trouble because other children can take advantage of them. You know, that the phlegmatic opens up the way to be tricked, to be abused in certain ways, to be teased, and they're good-natured about it. You know, they'll hold back. They won't complain to a teacher. Takes a lot for a phlegmatic ever to go to a teacher and say, so-and-so is teasing me, or they're all being mean to me. They will just let it happen. And after a while, the more clever of the second graders realize the way to really get the phlegmatic upset is to do something to her lunchbox, to hide it, or take something out of it, or whatever. And indeed, this will happen. Now, I can tell you, phlegmatics will put up with this sort of thing through first grade, though first grade usually doesn't happen, through second grade, third grade, fourth grade. They will put up with this sort of stuff for years. And then one day, suddenly they've had enough, and I have seen phlegmatics punch three children in a row, bloody noses all over the place, and then shut the classroom door so hard that the glass in the window of the door broke, shattered. And of course, nobody was more shocked about this than the phlegmatic. But you've got to watch that. They carry within them the power of water, you know, and you go out and see a lake day after day after day. It's placid, it's beautiful, calm, reflecting all that's around it. And then the wind blows in the wrong way, and that lake is throwing its waves all over the place and bringing a lot of destruction in its wake. Same with the phlegmatic. So keep an eye on them. You may have to intervene here. And of course, fables are such a wonderful, therapeutic, pedagogical type of story for phlegmatics who are being abused in one way or another. I mentioned that the melancholic child is the one who tends to be absent the most. Contrary-wise, the phlegmatic child is the one who tends to be absent the least. They are of very good health. The etheric forces are very strong in the phlegmatic child. And if anybody is going to escape this year's flu epidemic or the latest outbreak of whooping cough or chickenpox, it's most likely to be the phlegmatic child. They do not get ill all that much. I once had a phlegmatic child who never was absent on a single day of school for 8 grades. It can happen. It's unusual. But certainly their days of absence will be the smallest in number of all 4 temperaments. Which is a wonderful thing because they need a lot of time to work. They could never handle the melancholic being out for a week or 2 weeks in a row and having to catch up. Phlegmatics can't do that. They need to work every day. They need to get their apportioned work done. They love to do repetitive tasks. They learn something to do well, and then they do it again and again. Even if logically it doesn't hold, they'll keep doing it until they're directed otherwise. But the other side of never being ill is that there's not a whole lot of transformation going on there. This is the shadow side. You think, wow, to have those etheric forces, that's fantastic, you know, to always be hale and hearty and kind of feeling content about life. Who would want more than that? However, the sorrows, the sufferings, the pains, the being laid low by an illness, that's an important transformational process. And this is one reason why the phlegmatic temperament is not an easy temperament to grow out of. In part because it's so nice to be phlegmatic, and there's so much that satisfies one in life. It doesn't take a whole lot. Phlegmatics have very simple tastes. They don't need to travel a lot. They don't need to be distracted a lot. They're content with very little. But part of the dissatisfactions and the struggling and the restlessness is that we are striving, that we are trying to be different and hopefully better. And the phlegmatic will not always experience this. So keep an eye on this. And I think this is a reason that Steiner said that now and then you're telling a story and you start to walk towards the phlegmatic's desk. And they're sort of dreaming away with the story. And then you say, well, many a man had tried to rescue that lovely princess from the dragon, but it wasn't until one knight stood up and said, yes, I will do it. I will do it. I say I will do it. You actually want to pound your fist on the phlegmatic's desk. He said, now and then you've got to do something loud and jarring that actually shocks the phlegmatic. Otherwise, they're in danger of sort of falling into a lifelong enchanted sleep in their body, in this kind of perfectly permeated with etheric forces body of theirs. So this is very interesting that, the teasing and sometimes the victimization by bullies that the phlegmatic goes through, keep an eye on it, but it doesn't mean that you are constantly there defending the phlegmatic. Because A, they have to learn a little about how to defend themselves, and B, because the other children are also in their own bumbling, childish, immature way, they may be helping the phlegmatic to awaken. They may actually be doing a very great deed for the phlegmatic child. So keep that in mind. In terms of the work that they do, phlegmatics are usually very good at what they do. They're not especially creative necessarily, but they will watch you carefully. They're very imitative. They become great actors in later grades, able to imitate everybody in the class. Imitate any character type you show them. They will imitate you. They'll follow your model and, you know, practically mirror exactly what you're drawing. So their work will be good. Now and then, however, go up to a phlegmatic and maybe take the crayon right out of their hand and do something very different. And they'll say, but you did that. I know I did that. But, you know, I think it really looks better this way, don't you? Let's try coloring that red instead of green and see what happens. Be very upsetting for a moment. But then the phlegmatic will agree, no, that looks much nicer that way. So you want to get them sometimes to break the mold that you have created, because other children can't follow your model or don't want to follow your model. The phlegmatics want to follow your model all too often, and you sometimes want to help them break out of that tendency. We'll go on in the next lecture to have a look at the sanguine child in the second grade class.